So a few weeks ago, before we started this season of teaching that we're doing right now, I was on the phone with Mom, and as we were talking, and she was sharing some things on her heart with me, and I was sharing some things with her, and as we were discussing these things, I began to draw this picture on my my clipboard. And in this picture, because these are things that, and I was sharing with her, you know, the experience I had about being thrust forward in my vehicle, which was really quite an experience. But I began to draw this picture as we conversed. And this picture was a stick figure, because I'm not the greatest artist, but of these platforms that I was seeing. And I was seeing this, about four platforms. And as you climb up to them, at the very top of this was the glory. And I was going through my notes today, and I came across this picture from that day. And see, what we're doing, what Mom is teaching on growing in God and in the path to union, what I'm teaching in prophetic advancement, these are coupled together to bring the body of Christ into a place of entering into his presence in ways we never have before. In this year, in this decade, in this century. In fact, for hundreds of years, in ways that we haven't, we will enter into a holiness in God. This is the path he has us on. And so every message that you will receive every week will be to take us there and prepare us for that. We will war for the nation. We will war for the issues at hand. But the messages are to build upon one another, to take each of us into a place where we can step into his presence in unprecedented ways. As he reminded me of that, and as I viewed that, this very sober feeling came over me. The seriousness of the times that we're in, it weighs on us. Our families, they weigh on us. Our jobs, the nation, it all weighs on us. But if we will submit to him in the midst of it, we will grow in him by leaps and bounds during this season. And like a vacuum, we will bring our family and to new places in God. And we need to trust him in that. And so as we begin tonight, I really wanted to share with you how we will be growing exponentially. Because it wasn't like this, you know, smooth path. They were basically cliffs. You know, we were jumping to the next cliff and the next one to enter in. So it's not easy for sure, but boy, is it worth it. And it will be worth it. Matthew chapter 13. Now, years ago, not years ago, I say years ago like it's, you know, a decade ago, but a couple years ago I did a message with our prayer cell leaders, our Joel's Army prayer cell leaders, and it was entitled The Seeds of Matthew 13. And, you know, and it was about, you know, what kind of seed we are and that sort of thing. It was a message of healing, of inner healing even. And over the course of the last 2 weeks, the Lord has brought me back to this chapter, and I have been immersed in this chapter. Now, we're not going to go through all the seeds listed in Matthew 13, but we are going to come to verses 10 through 16. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, you could do a deep word study on this, and the Lord would unlock to you. He would unlock the word to you. As you bathe it in prayer, as you study the word, he unlocks it to you. That's the beauty of God's word. That's the beauty of seeing and hearing. Perceiving and grasping the concepts, the principles that God is trying to release through his word. But I want to focus tonight. I want to focus tonight on a couple of words. I want to focus on, we know that a parable is when we take real life stories or events to help convey spiritual principles. He said, he answered unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are not unknowable. They are knowable for those who seek them. And this is what the Lord is trying to teach his disciples in this hour when they are pulled away and they are, he is speaking to the masses. Now, he's speaking to the masses, you know, he's actually in a boat on the sea, and the masses have gathered around him to hear him speak, because he is unlocking the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Yet many of them will go away from that, not having grasped the fullness of the message that he's releasing. Those that have a very religious mindset are going to be locked. Why? Because when we have a religious mindset, we often have a ritualistic mindset. We often have a mindset that keeps us trapped in the things that we believe. The things that we have grown up seeing and believing. The things that keep us rigid. The things that are legalistic in nature. And it keeps us bound. Because when this takes place, if you have not been raised or grown up or been immersed in the spirit of holiness, in the Holy Spirit, then you are restricted in your understanding of the word of God, and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven will not be available to you. Not near to the degree as when he unlocks the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to you. A couple of years ago, the Lord told me that, it was the end of 2018, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what he said, and this was for the nation. And all through the end of, you know, our 2018 and into 2019, the messages that I released were about the kingdom of heaven, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They were critical messages. Messages to help us understand the things of heaven, because everything that we know right now is about the things of this earth. And believe you me, we know plenty about the things of this earth. In fact, most people know far more about the things of this earth, the temporal realm, than they know about the heavenly realm. And prophetic advancement is about taking us up to the next level, and then the next level, and then the next level, so that we come to know what we're fighting for. If they came to you today and they said, you either need to bow the knee to me, or I'm going to take your head, probably 99.9% of the population in this country would say, hey, let me bow right now. Because they don't understand the kingdom of heaven. And with the seeker-sensitive or the seeker-friendly movement that swept across the earth since 1975, unfortunately, a good chunk of those sitting in the church today doesn't understand what they would die for. And in order for us to effectively convey to those that we see every day what they're living for and what they may potentially die for, we've got to be able to convey the things of heaven to them, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Where he rolls out his presence through his vessels, where he rolls out his presence in worship, where we can be studying the Word of God, we can be worshiping him in our own home, in our own living room, and his presence can come in so thickly that we will be on our knees before him, because the presence of heaven just flowed into our room, where the glory of God encapsulates us and we see the cloud, the glory, the higher life, the higher spiritual concepts, spiritual principles, where we have the Spirit of holiness come in and immerse us in himself in such a way that we can't get far enough on the ground. Because his holiness is so rich, it penetrates every cell of our being. And we fear that if we look up, you know, he might just smite us right there. With that holiness of God, with that immersion in him, comes a fear of God, a fear of God, of his holiness. Not because he's going to beat us down, but because his holiness is so thick, so penetrating, it exposes every part of us that shouldn't be in the presence of that level of holiness. If we are going to die for him, we have to know who we're dying for. We have to live for him every day like that is the day we will die for him. We have to be willing to seek and pursue the things of heaven in such a way that when we seek his face, our minds, our hearts, our spirits are so open to him that he can pour down heavenly revelation into our lives about himself and the fullness of who he is. It's in these times that he begins to speak to us and begins to prepare us and begins to equip us for our call. It's in these times that he begins to speak to us and reveal to us things that the enemy has planned. It's in these times that he ignites the prophetic within you and you can rise up and know what the enemy has planned. And you can take to war against it, whether it is something that takes place in your family, whether it's your city, whether it's your state, or whether it's the nation. You will know because you are immersed in him, and you have availed yourself to receiving the kingdom of heaven. The more we see, the more we hear, the more we perceive. And I am not talking about a head knowledge. And see, that's what the Lord was referring to. A head knowledge. A knowledge that comes through religion. Through ritualistic religion and religious practices. He's talking about knowing and perceiving the one you're serving, hearing his voice, hearing his wisdom, hearing his will, hearing his ways. And you can't do that if you don't know him. We can have a bunch of head knowledge about the Bible. In fact, there's, you know, the Bible is frequently taught in colleges, and they go through and they lay out the timeline, they lay out the authors, they lay out how it was translated, they lay out how it was converted into print, and how, you know, the process, the historical element, which is always nice to know because it puts a picture for us. It gives us this picture of these 66 books that have been placed in the palm of our hands that we can come to know the plan and purposes of God for the earth. Where any of life's questions can be answered through that Bible, his word. It's nice to have that kind of understanding that goes behind it. But if you are going to step from a person that has head knowledge to a person that has heart knowledge, a person that can be ignited and engaged with the Spirit of the Lord, you have to have faith. Faith is the bridge that takes the Word of God. Faith is the bridge that takes the Word of God from a place of head knowledge to heart knowledge. Faith is the bridge between the spirit and the physical realm. Faith is the bridge. Without it, you can't possibly step into the kingdom of heaven. This is one of the reasons why the enemy works so hard to devastate the faith of believers. Because if he can harm your faith, he can effectively cut off your ear and your eyes to the kingdom of heaven. All he has to do is strip you of your faith. You know, when President Trump, on November 4th, when they were going through this process of the election and counting the votes and playing their games and using the media to further their plan, when they had come out and they had declared, the media had declared that Biden had won, this illegitimate man, they were propping him up. I sent out a message, the Red Sea moment. When we got hit with another blow on the election, I sent out a message, hold the line. Week after week, I would send out encouraging messages because I knew the enemy was trying to devastate the faith of the intercessors. Because if he can devastate your faith, you're no longer going to be praying his heavenly will here on earth. Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6? The Lord's Prayer, we say it's such a simple prayer. It's one of the first things my children learned. But it's so powerful. So we're not going to pray God's heavenly will to come down on earth if our faith doesn't believe his heavenly will is going to come to earth, right? So he set to work to devastate the faith of the believers. And so I would get messages periodically from people, and they would say, hold the line. Hold the line for what? And so I'd have to take a step back and take a breath and realize. And it took me some time to come to understand that the enemy was really hitting the faith of the believers so that they would not continue to pray through to victory. God has already promised the victory. Just because it doesn't happen in man's timeline, because it doesn't happen in a precedented way, doesn't mean that the victory was not won, and doesn't mean that we will not see the victory come to pass. God will never fail us. Understanding and having our faith ignited with his bridges the spiritual and the temporal realm. And when we have that bridge intact, when he speaks to us, we hold on to what he speaks. We don't question it and we don't doubt it. We may ask for additional information. We may ask for greater understanding. But we hold the line. Because our faith is in him and not man. Understanding the kingdom of heaven, understanding, perceiving it. You know, some of these words in here are very important for us to come to understand. To hear is to listen to God's voice. To see and to perceive. It's to be aware. It's a seeing that becomes knowing. It becomes a gateway to grasp spiritual truth and reality from a physical plane. To see is to physically see something with spiritual results. It's taking the head knowledge to the heart. And when that knowledge goes from your head to your heart, you're going to fight for that with all that you have. And you won't let the enemy take it. Prophetic advancement means understanding that God is going to pull back the veil of the heavenly realm to begin to speak to his people, to speak to his prophets, so that we can war against the enemy and stop looking at the precedents set before us, but instead look at the release of the kingdom of heaven in this earth and understand that just as God is trying to raise up his army, his people, to rise above what we see with our natural eyes and ignite our heart with His and implement His heavenly will here in earth. The enemy has his army rising up. And let me tell you, the enemy's kingdom, they've been believing what they're doing for a long time, and they've been lock solid on it. The things that they do to further the kingdom of Satan would sicken you, but they're committed to it. Why do you think it is that the satanic kingdom began to increase while the seeker-friendly message began to infiltrate the churches? We're gonna weaken the church. We're gonna weaken God's people while we strengthen Satan's kingdom. And that was his plan. But see, here's the beauty of who God is. Here's the beauty of who He is. He, with a breath, could take out Satan and all of his army with a thought. But it's not time. But He could. He's that powerful. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all that is in it with nothing, out of nothing, but His Word. He formed man with His own hands out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed His breath of life into him. And in that moment, that spark of life, Adam's destiny was birthed, and he awakened. To who? To the face of God, his Father. With the breath of God coursing through his veins. Light coursing through his veins. He is in the business of creating. And on that final judgment day, that time of seed and harvest, seed, plant, harvest, that is the government of God. In that final day, when the harvest is brought in, the enemy will face judgment. Because he's a holy God. And even in judgment that we see take place in the earth, what righteousness is demonstrated through his judgment. He is shifting us into a place where we have a heavenly mindset so that we can war. He will mature us. He will develop us. He will equip us. He will teach us. That's what these times are all about, to prepare us and grow us up in him by leaps and bounds. And the enemy will stay right where he's at. We will increase, and the enemy will stay right where he's at. A child of God that walks in the holiness of God, a child of God who understands the kingdom of heaven, when they walk into an area and there is satanic worship going on, if they are walking in the high levels of God, their very presence sends the demons fleeing, because they are walking with the authority of the kingdom of heaven coursing through their veins. And the enemy knows it. Every person he may be training up in that hour will be completely disabled, because the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit is coursing through that person. We can't fear because the enemy has been working at this while we've been asleep for 50 years. And I'm not saying the people on this line have been asleep. I'm saying the church as a whole. It's time for us to wake up and to grab hold of what God is releasing. Grab hold and allow God to grow us up. Why? Because God is about to do a mighty thing in the earth. He is about to sweep across this earth with his glory in unprecedented waves. We are about to see a whole bunch of unprecedented things. The enemy, he only has, you know, his repeat attractions. That's all he's got. He's going to put you on that roller coaster, and he's going to hit the go button, and you're going to spin round and round and round and round because he doesn't have new stuff. But the kingdom of heaven is full of creation, the Creator coursing through his children. We can keep the enemy on his toes at all times. He keeps trying to keep us on our toes. It's time for us to flip the switch. The enemy is trying to expedite the plans of darkness, the plans that have been set in motion. He's trying to expedite things. He's trying to suppress the church. He's trying to actually... interfere and thwart the end time revival. But God says, absolutely not, because that's in my word. What's the enemy going to do? Well, he's going to actually try to do a lot of things. But the kingdom of heaven, where the Creator resides, is relying on his vessels to release his heavenly will here on earth. He's waiting for us to let go of religiosity, let go of our faith that's, you know, when I say faith in quotes, our belief system that is in our head, and to step into the eternal and focus on the eternal. This is what he's trying to do in us. Why is this so important? Because the enemy is unleashing a plan in the earth. And if we grow up in God, and if we let him equip us, and we leap up those ledges, we are going to advance by leaps and bounds in the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to be able to function through a mature church, an ecclesia. Those that are called out of the world and up to God. Last week I shared about the dreams that I had, about the enemy's plan in Chicago, in D.C., the enemy's plan to wreak havoc on our streets and bring chaos on our streets. And the enemy, he has a plan in place. But remember, he can't create. So he's got to keep looping through his previous plans, his previous actions. While we have the Creator depositing into us strategy, depositing into us wisdom and knowledge, understanding, where we have ignited our faith as the bridge between the spiritual side of things and the natural side of things, so that we can take what God is giving and release it into the natural. And you say, well, why do you feel like this is so important right now? Why do you feel like this is Well, for all the reasons I just shared. But the enemy, trying to expedite his plan, he does things. We talked last week about the buildings. When they build these two towers side by side like this, it is a very occultic thing, and they know this. Our lack of faith and understanding in the spiritual side of things causes us to block off this. You know, like, no, that's a little out there. But they do know this, and they're proceeding with that knowledge. So we need to open up our hearts and our minds to receive what the Lord is saying to us. When they do this, it's an occultic, the whole thing is immersed in the occult. They often do sacrifices on that land prior to the breaking of the ground. And you think, well, if someone went over there and prayed over it, I mean, you know, if we knew about this, well, the problem is we have 22 of these here in our country, and the enemy is trying to immerse our country in death. He's trying to immerse our country in his plans. But God has made a covenant with this nation. He made a covenant with John Rabaut. He made a covenant with ministers that have come after him. And he made a covenant with this ministry, with my mom. This nation will be a refuge nation. And this is what we're fighting for, an end time refuge nation. So when the enemy comes in and he sets up an occultic practice, he sets up a ritualistic thing, and then he has it sitting there, and it's sitting there for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, what is feeding into the demonic realm during that time? Abortion and bloodletting. And so when we hear that the enemy has a plan to target an area, the best thing that we can do is repent for abortion. We can do warfare to thwart that plan, and I know I need to close up. I'm so sorry. We need to thwart that plan, and we need to attack it in the spirit and overcome the plan of the enemy. Right now, we have an effort, this driven effort, to further abortion. Why? Because it's bloodletting. It's bloodletting that's taking place every single day in our country. And in states where this is excessive, if you live in a state where this is excessive, I encourage you to spend time, especially if you're in Joel's army, repenting for abortion that takes place in your state. Because that bloodletting is what fuels when they do a massive, sudden collapse of a building. They believe it opens portals, and the work they've done in the spirit is to open portals to the demonic realm. If you don't believe me, you can watch a video. You can watch as they erected the Arch of Baal, as two demons flew through that arch and into the city. Five arches have been erected around the world. There are 1,000 of them that have been prepared. We must grow up. We must allow God to mature us. We must immerse ourselves into the plans and the purposes of the kingdom of heaven so that we can war in this earth. And so I know I have to close out, but we have got to allow God to do the work in us so that we can be mature. Now, if you want some understanding, if you're on our Telegram page, I will put a link in our Telegram page. And I will, where you can see the video of the demons flying through the arch. And I will put a couple of articles in there for you. And you can read what they believe and what they know occurs with this Arch of Baal. They believe it's very connected with the earth. That's why they push these Mother Earth, Wiccan. These religions are all very immersed in the satanic realm. When the Arch of Baal was in Syria, and it was when they had to go in to do their ceremony where Baal was erected, they would enter through the arch, and they would engage in lewd and lascivious acts in this stadium, and they would take newborns, and they would put them on the palms of this idol that was on fire. And they had drums that were beating. They were dancing. They were engaged in lewd and lascivious acts with one another. These babies often that were offered to this idol were conceived in that very stadium. So the drums are beating, they're dancing, they're distracted, and when that baby is brought into the body cavity of Baal, it's consumed in flames. So this is the arch that they have erected in five cities in our country. Not in our country, I'm sorry. Three cities in our country. They did one before President Trump was, during the election of President Trump. They did in 2016. They did one during the Kavanaugh hearings. Why? Because they're trying to prevent Roe versus Wade. They've done one in London, they've done one in Italy, and they've done one in Dubai. And they are literally capturing on film demons coming through these arches. These are portals. So when the children of God have ignited themselves with the kingdom of heaven to release his heavenly will, we can overcome this. This is the equipping hour. This is why he gave me those four images. That's why he gave me the image of us going up on the ledges. That's why it wasn't a slope. They were ledges. It all makes sense. Thank you, Lord. Because he was going to grow us up quickly if we will immerse ourselves in him, perceive what's being spoken, hear it, perceive it, receive it, and ignite our faith to war for the promises of God, to war for this nation, to war for the end time harvest.